Hi, I'm David Smith, and this is In a Word. You know, in our society, in our world, our culture especially, we hear people talk about perfection all of the time. They're in pursuit of perfection. People want perfect looks. You know, maybe they'll see somebody with supermodel looks and they'll say, oh, that person, he or she is so perfect. And they use that word not sparingly at all. They really want perfection. Maybe we look at a diamond, you know, see somebody's ring and they say, that is a perfect cut diamond. We're familiar with the word perfect. What's ironic is that when we use that term spiritually, it's a cop-out for people. You know, we go to the spiritual matters and people say, well, we may be in pursuit of perfection otherwise, spiritually we're not. I'm not perfect. And people use that as an excuse for, as if to justify their bad behavior. And when you say, well, you know, here is the Bible says this and that, and they say, well, look, I'm not perfect. You can't expect perfection. And it's so funny, we would pursue perfection in everything that doesn't matter, and we would not seek perfection in things that matter most. So I want to look at that word, perfect. It's a great word in the Bible. You know, in the New Testament, so many people have a misunderstanding of what the word perfect actually means. They take the word perfect to mean sinless. And while I understand, especially if applied to Jesus, it could certainly carry that sense. But the word just means mature. It means complete. It means whole. That's all the word means in the New Testament. It means the goal or the end to which we aim. It just references a level of spiritual maturity. And so that's all the word means by the use of the original term in the New Testament. And I wanted to direct your attention today to a few places in the New Testament where we have this word perfect, and I want to look at a few lessons that we learn from the use of this word. Matthew 5:48. What a great verse. Jesus, this is part of the Sermon on the Mount, says, be ye therefore perfect. Then he gives us a comparison. Even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now, let me ask you at the outset of the reading of this verse. Does God give us a command that we cannot accomplish? Now you say, no. If God tells us we can do it, we can do it. Surely God made us. He knows our limitations, our strengths, our weaknesses. God would not tell us to do something we are incapable of doing. If God tells us to be perfect, then we can be perfect, right? Well, of course. Well, in Matthew 5:48, He's not saying be sinless. Obviously, Romans 3:23, when we reach an accountable stage of life, sin enters in. We can never be considered innocent ever again. We have to be justified on the basis of pardon. We appeal to the propitiation of Jesus Christ. It's never going to be the case that we're sinless. In fact, in 1 John 1:8-10, if we say that we've never sinned, we make God a liar. If we say that we do not sin, we make ourselves a liar. The truth is not in us. So what does he mean here? Be complete. Be mature. Be full-grown. We can be that because Jesus said that we can. We are actually commanded to be full-grown, perfect, and mature people. In Luke 1:3, Luke writes and says, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. And he'll explain about the inspiration of his letter. But notice here, he talks about a perfect understanding. Now, is it possible for you or even me to be omniscient? No, we can't be. We're finite beings. We don't know all things. We're not like God. We can never be. He knows everything. Even from one simultaneous intuition, God knows everything. But our understanding can be mature. You can have a full-grown understanding of spiritual matters. And that's what Luke is talking about his having. We have full-grown, a mature understanding of spiritual matters. And that's the point to which we all ought to aim and achieve. Philippians 3:12, Paul says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now, Paul's point is that we can be mature, but we should never be satisfied. We should always want a stronger state of maturity. That's what the word perfect means. It's not given in the Bible as a way for us to cop out and justify a bad action. It's not to say, well, I can't be perfect. You can be. You can be mature. You can be complete. You can be full grown. Also, in 2 Timothy 3:17, now that's preceded by the statement in verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for proof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Notice verse 17. That the man of God may be perfect, complete, full-grown, complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Notice here, he talks about this perfection, not sinlessness, but the idea of being full-grown and complete. Question, how are we brought to this full-grown state? How are we grown to this maturity? Through the Word of God. I think, if anything, it only emphasizes the need for intent, Bible study, and application, because the more you know, the more you apply, the more you grow, the more you mature, the more you perfect yourself in the love of God. Perfect. Doesn't mean sinlessness. It's not meant to be a cop-out for us. It's meant to show us what we are to strive for in the Bible, to be mature people. Are you perfect? Are you complete? Are you mature? God requires that. That's been our word for the day. I'm David Smith, and this is In a Word.